catastrophic first quarter against the Cats was hard to watch for Hawks fans, but by the final siren, it was clear that there was some pluck about this Hawthorn side, and it's just a matter of time. We're back to analyse the highs and lows of the Easter Monday blockbuster ahead of our road trip to Adelaide. Thanks for tuning into the Hawk Talk podcast. My name is Nick Mason, and Tiz, while I had to play catch-up this week, you were at the game, so what did you see?
A non-competitive Hawthorn in the first quarter, and then slowly they pieced it back together. You lucky man.
It's a strange knack about Hawthorn this year to... Well, I mean, they can't sustain it, but they can reel in a team.
Nah, mate, our first quarters are woeful, and then we respond. And then it's halftime, and the opposition kick on again. So this is how it's going this year. And I know you were asking questions about have we got better, have we not got better. There were moments I was like, we just don't have the list here. But we also had some pluck. You were right. We actually hauled ourselves into some form of a team at quarter time and came out, and having been absolutely smashed in possessions in that first quarter, we got just as many over Geelong in the second quarter. So it was a better performance than Melbourne, but in terms of are we better than last year, we just got to see. And Collingwood will be a bit of fun, I think, because we match up well against them.
Well, I just refute any suggestion that we don't have the list. I think it's, you know, we're amid a rebuild. We're trying to make it come together. And when we see the sorts of things that we do in the second quarter, and it is second quarters when we decide to show up, it's almost like, oh crap, we've got ourselves in a bit of a hole here, we're going to have to try. Then we get to half time, it's like, oh well, that was pretty good, all right, well, job done, we'll go home now. It seems to be a trend this year, but the fact that we're even able to get into the contest at all suggests that these guys have it, there's something working.
Yeah, there is. I mean, the stats are better on the scoring, that's certain. We are scoring better. But definitely our defensive mindset is lessened. We just seem smaller, both broad across the shoulders and in height. And that's going to take time to develop. Not the height part, of course. That's part of the recruiting. but just the broadness and the physicality of the side isn't. Doesn't match it with either Geelong or Melbourne.
Well, there's one guy that isn't shying away or shirking the physical stuff, and that is James Warple, who seems to be on his way to recapturing that PCM form. His first three rounds of the season have been stellar. We had a question from Reese. Do the Hawks fans who said there was no room for Warple in our team in the future need to apologise? Without him this season, it'd be a bloodbath.
It'd definitely be a bloodbath, but also I want to point out that he had 13 of his 35 disposals in the last quarter. So he ran it out.
Yeah, that is the will to win. That is the never say die attitude.
And, you know, in that first quarter, he was also one of the leading possession getters, along with McKenzie, Frost, who's doing very well. And we're never going to sell any of those shirts, mate. That's just not going to happen.
What, the errors tour?
He's almost errorless.
I'm glad I said that in the off season, because to say it round one or two, my... a bit harsh. He hasn't really put much of a foot wrong. I know that Hawkins had his day, and boy, didn't we just hear about it, just going on. And I know you were at the game, but me catching up later on the coverage, I was like, whose home game is this? Like, are we going to talk about Hawthorn ever? Anyway, I know that Hawkins got his requisite amount of goals, but you couldn't overlook the fact that Frost did really, really well and was physical and matched up well against him. And no, it wasn't the 100% disposal efficiency that we got in the first fortnight of the season, but it was about 88 or so. And I'm pleased with him.
Yeah, 88's fine. That's great. What did work for us, I felt, was the change in the ruck. And I thought Chol was very good in the ruck as well.
You're very high on Chol in the ruck.
I am. He even balked at one point to get a centre clearance. I was like, that's very nice. I like that a lot. I also felt he was easily our best forward, most dangerous forward. Very, very good. We're very lucky to have picked him up.
Well, what I'm finding about Chol is I'm really enjoying his impact. And by impact, I mean his knee against the opposition's back or head.
Righto.
Seems to be becoming a little bit of a trend now. I'm surprised it hasn't been put under the microscope of your footy classifieds or Fox Footy yet.
I tell you what, these are the guys I kind of like. The guys that don't really fit the mould, because Chole has a different rhythm to the guys around him. That's why he keeps hitting these guys. Just, you know, it's not like there's any malice in it. He's just, he has a different rhythm to his game. Like, Connor Nash, I thought he stepped up. He's got a different rhythm to his game. Cyril was beating, you know, much faster than the rest of the guys around him. He had a much higher beats per second. So these are just different players.
Chole's got a reggae rhythm, I think.
Reggae? He's,
you know, kind of like a bit cool, but a bit funky, a bit fun. I mean, he gets results. He kicked 3 again on the weekend. And you'd have to say, I know it's only 3 rounds in, but it's shaping as a nice little tick beside his name as a good recruit for Hawthorn.
Yeah, and enjoyable and exciting and fun. And look, on a day that was pretty awful to have to sit there and then wait around for it to actually finish, it was tough for us supporters.
Well, that kind of underlines how extraordinary Warple's efforts in the final quarter were as well. I mean, as you say, he finished with 36 touches, 8 tackles, 6 clearances, 1 goal, 1. I mean, he's really leading the way for this midfield when we sorely need people to stand up, and especially some of our old guard. You know, some of our... I know it's a very young squad to begin with, but some of our veterans are kind of letting us down at the moment. The guys, I mentioned it last podcast, some of the players you felt heading into this season you could rely upon as a Hawthorn fan, they're not really showing up for us.
No, well, they've had a shorter off-season, and even the veterans have an even shorter off-season than the rest. But what I want to say about Warple is he had 5 assists out of his 8 scoring involvements, but he had meters gained of 843, which is enormous. The guy was brilliant for us, and a 74% disposal efficiency. Contested 14, uncontested 24. Look, he is finally doing what we thought he could do, and he's only going to get better at it. He certainly relished having Meek in there, who got 16 touches. Not much pressure out of Meek, but it's, you know, he was just a bigger body in there. And I thought we did fairly well in the midfield. I wasn't so concerned about it this week.
Well, we did better. And I think the thing I like about Meek was sort of what I was craving out of Reeves, which I'm still not sure he can provide. I thought Reeves did well in the VFL, and we'll get to all that, but Meek gave us a bit of presence where I thought we'd been lacking that around the ground for our ruck division, at least.
I mean, I remember him taking a mark and nearly Bronx cheering a ruckman take a mark for us. But, you know, I don't know. I wavered throughout that game.
Oh, that's okay. Hawthorn did too.
It was like, how on earth is this going to improve without the draft? But this is what happens each year. Like, and it was worse at this point last year. Let's put that on the table. It was worse at this point last year, their performances.
But I want to circle back to what I was saying before. You know, the question on everyone's minds is just how the hell will this improve? I acknowledge that. But you look at the second quarter, there is something there. You can't just bully your way back into the contest with that sort of explosivity and come from the clouds, come from nowhere to make it a tight tussle again without having some sort of DNA of a successful team there. It's about trying to unlock the rest of it. I do not know why we show up for only one quarter in that fashion. I mean, this was happening in the preseason as well. It's a genuine problem.
Well, I've got a problem with the back six too. I mean, Sicily's not hitting his straps. He's got 16 touches this week, but 547 metres gained. But still, we're not getting the drive out of him. He's not in the positions we want him to be in. And you see, there was a drop-off from Carl Amon. He had 10 touches in the first quarter, finished with 19 for the game, 1 in the last. We've also lost Mitch Lewis. Henry Hustwaite didn't look as great as I thought he would. I still think you need to back him in and bring him back next week. And then it looks like we'll be without Watson Is that right? Rolled the ankle as well?
Yeah, that's right. We've got some injury news already that's coming through. There might be some more updates to come after when we've recorded this. But right now, what we know is Mitch Lewis won't be available for Gather Round. The extent of that injury is sort of to be determined. As for Watson, we're looking at 4 to 6 weeks. So it's an ankle injury, that one. And, you know, just as he was getting going, I'm really bullish on Watson. I haven't backed away from that. I think the more that I watch him, the more I'm convinced that he's going to be a very special and fun player to watch.
Have you seen the low light where he's right in front?
Yeah, I did see that. That was Cameron Ling-esque. How the hell did he miss everything? I don't know.
Well, he's just tried to put his foot through the ball, hasn't he? He's just tried to kick it too hard. Is that what happened?
I guess so. Look, you know, you put yourself in his boots. I mean, your eyes would light up. You're on the big stage. He's still very green in his career. That'll happen sometimes. But look at how he made amends. You know, again, it was a really special goal that he kicked.
He's tenacious. He won't stop. About, I don't know, a couple of metres away from that point where that glaring miss happened, there was then the Hardwick deliberate out of bounds, which the umpiring was just catastrophic the whole day. Like, I cannot describe to you how angry I was at some of the umpiring.
Yeah, I'm finding my relationship with the umpiring to be markedly different from previous years in that I feel like I have less of a sense than ever of what is a free kick, and it always feels, even as a neutral supporter, watching neutral games, I'm just kind of like, that doesn't seem fair or right. Why was that paid? And the commentators often don't know and say as much when they don't know. There was a few of those in our game, by the way. I don't know if you've caught up on the vision, but yeah, it is deeply frustrating. And we'll get to the VFL. It happened there as well. Geelong just...
And so many forward of centre too, you know, it's just...
But the lead story here is that the AFL's come out and they've addressed what has gone on with Jack Ginnivan. And those frees that were just completely missed. And I'm keen to get your thoughts on that because, yeah, I mean, they stuffed up. There were free kicks there that needed to be paid.
Look, he has a very good technique. There are a couple of frees I wouldn't have paid. But at some point you have to pay some of them because he's just getting clobbered. And if they're serious about all this CTE stuff, they've got to protect the guy or they've got to outlaw what they think Jack's trying to do. But there are a couple of times where they were just, especially a marking attempt, where it was completely obvious that that was a free kick to everybody.
Yeah, I think it's especially telling when, during the game, at the breaks, the media can pinpoint certain examples and just go, oh yeah, no, that's 100% a free kick. Like, there's not even that much conjecture about it. It's just, that should have been paid, and we all know it.
But I thought Sam handled it well. I said, he's made a reputation early on as a young man, and it's sticking with him. He's not making apologies for him, and he's not pushing the pressure on the umpires, but for the AFL to reach out to Hawthorn rather than the other way around is very interesting.
Indeed it is. We had a question from NVO. Who should be our permanent wingers? Personally, we did well from 2011 to 2016 with Brad Hill and Isaac Smith. Is Amon, Massimo and Morrison our answer, or do we rotate Ward and Cam in there as well?
Well, I thought Massimo was consistent again. I still hate Amon in the back line.
Yeah, same. I'm with you on that. I wasn't sure to begin with, but I've really been talked around.
And then Weddle, he's going into some different roles. They're going to make him develop his defensive skills. We're not going to see him put to the attack for a while, I expect.
Well, you say that, but he bobbed up an attack the previous week.
I know. I mean, just let him loose to run the wings and do all that stuff. I don't think they're going to give him that brief.
I don't know if you noticed, but certainly watching the replay back, I felt this is one of these games where I was like, what's that player doing there? Did you happen to have that feeling the same as me?
I had the feeling, how on earth are there so many Geelong players at the fall of the ball?
Yes, yeah, that was a recurring theme, certainly.
And every now and again, the 1-on-3, we would win. And I'd be like, oh, good, another 1-on-2. How? Anyway, look, they're a better side than we are at this point. And there were a lot of fans that were up and about. They thought Geelong might be for, you know, we might be able to mug them. But it wasn't the case. They were well and truly prepared for the 350th. I felt that Ward played very well. I did.
Last week, I thought he might be on the chopping block, and I wanted to find a way to get other players in, and so he was on the chopping block for mine. But after this game, I'm like, nah, I don't see the value in cutting him at the moment. We sort of need to persist.
He does worry me when he has the ball sometimes because he does take a little time to assess his options. But apart from that, he usually uses it very well indeed. And I saw some comments in the media about our drafting, and Ward was held up as one that, you know, perhaps we could have done better with. But look, he still had 5 scoring involvements. It's pretty good.
I would like him to be a bit more attacking and creative with ball in hand. I'm not sure he has the sort of impact that I'd hope for yet.
Well, on the weekend, he really did try to take territory. His kicking was used to take territory, and I felt that was good. I think he takes good options. So it's just a slow upward trend with Wardy at the moment. And, you know, he's still developing, mate. And not all of the first rounders are going to be straight out of the gun. Great. I thought McKenzie with his 2 goals was very good. That was great.
Yeah, good signs from McKenzie for sure. And I say that, obviously, I said before, I'm still bullish on Watson, and I think he's tracking really nicely. I think in terms of impact, Watson could leave the others in his shadow, which is impressive for a small man.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, Ward's on 33 games, so hopefully he reaches 50 this year, which is the point where you really judge a bloke, isn't it? That's where you need to be able to see that they've got 200 games in them. Otherwise, they're just getting another 50, probably. That's how it works.
We had a question from Daniel. A bad start each week reflects more on decisions and structures by the coach and the coaches than efforts by the players. Our midfield setup is shambolic. Our forward 50 entry and forward structure is woeful. Geelong's game plan hasn't changed in years, yet we played straight into their hands from the get-go. Now, this question from Daniel, it made me think there's some merit to that. What is happening that we can't get up for the first quarter? What is happening that we keep on being ambushed?
Because we're a reactive side. We are the slingshot side. We're looking for you to attack, and then you give us space to run into and use. And so I think it's a bit of a come at me first and then I'll come back at you mentality, which I think is evident in how they respond.
So essentially you've summed it up by saying Hawthorn is a rope-a-dope team.
Pretty much. It's very soccer-like. If you don't have the greatest soccer side, you don't have the greatest players, what you do is you try to counterattack and catch them on the hob. And I think that's part of the mentality. I agree with Daniel. I had ticks all over his question because I don't think the game plan week to week or how they tinker it week to week has worked at all in any of the games.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with that. And all I'll say is we do have our moments when we do that slingshot maneuver and we do catch opposition teams out. But my word, we're going to have to start punishing opposition teams in these moments because it hasn't happened on the scoreboard. And meanwhile, this streak of luck for our opponents can't continue, can it? There's a tweet from Ronnie Lerner which summed it up. Hawthorn's opponents have kicked 17 goals 5, 14 goals 9, and now 17 goals 4 against us so far this year. Can't miss. A total of 48 goals 18 at a ridiculous 73% accuracy. Can our opponents start shanking the footy, please, as we have been known to ourselves? It'd be a huge help.
Well, it would be, but we'd have to put mental pressure on them. It's all about mental pressure. They know they're going to get a lot of scoring shots, and so it's much easier to kick the next one, okay? Because it's not like it's the only one they're going to have this quarter. They know they're going to have a lot of scoring shots. There's not a lot of pressure on that particular kick, and that's what happens. They're also... I mean, Geelong were kicking goals from 45 on an angle, you know, and that should only be, 15% of scoring across the round or across the year should be from those angles. and they're just nailing them.
Yeah, Sammy lamented as much in his presser. I got to say, I agree. Sam, one of our listeners, Sam, asks, did Bruce rapidly age over the summer?
You've actually checked that out. That's a listener. It's not a burner.
Is that, well, I assume it's a listener and not Mitchell himself.
The veterans haven't had as long a preseason as they would ordinarily have due to the fact that the whole preseason has been shorter. And so across the comp, a lot of veterans do look like they've aged quite substantially.
I mean, what happened on Easter Monday with Bruce is it's a one in a million. Like, that, when does that ever happen to Luke Bruce? It's probably never going to happen again.
You can't keep picking him off his past.
No, and I don't think he will be. I think there is a very real chance that he loses his spot in the team this year.
Oh, this year, not this week. Okay, I thought you were going the full bore there and just a little veer off.
We can talk about it now if you'd like, but Watson being out of the team, I have Butler coming in.
What about O'Sullivan?
O'Sullivan's worth a look, certainly. I was a huge fan of his game against the Geelong VFL side.
Did he kick three in the end? I think he did.
He kicked three and all three were really important.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first time I've looked at O'Sullivan and gone, he's got his hand up to play.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest statement he's made. I think everything he did has always been in his wheelhouse. I don't think there was anything uncharacteristic from him, but this was a real statement game from O'Sullivan. Since we're talking about it, Box Hill Hawks, 16-15, 111, defeated Geelong, 11-11-77. Box Hill rallied from a 12-point three-quarter time deficit, which seemed much bigger than it actually was on the scoreboard, just the way that the game was going. And they ran away 34-point winners. A superb display of resilience, Tiz. They just refused to lay down at any stage, despite Geelong holding them at bay all day. I really did wonder, is this just going to be a game where we simply can't break through?
Well, I was actually far more positive. I felt that they would push through at the end, and they did. A 46-point turnaround in that final quarter. That is huge. Talking about laying down, the Cats definitely did. They laid down.
Oh, the dam wall absolutely broke in the final term in spectacular fashion. 8-1 in the final term. I mean, come on, seriously. And that all came in a very quick flurry. It wasn't like it was spread out in the final term. Once it got going, it was just an absolute avalanche. And praise must go to Captain Porter. McGuinness, Butler, they're all very instrumental in this win. Let's highlight Porter first of all. There's a reason he's a captain. It was basically a complete performance from him. 21 touches with a game-high 9 clearances, a game-high 6 centre bounce clearances, a game-high 9 inside 50s. Add to that an equal game-high 7 tackles. That is a complete captain's performance, and that is the stuff that drags a team over the line.
McGuinness, he is definitely playing against Dakes on the weekend. I think that's clear. 28 touches.
Yeah, I'd say so. 28 touches, a game high 10 marks. Got involved in 9 scoring chains, 6 clearances, 4 inside 50s, 4 rebound 50s, and kicked a crucial final quarter goal that really sparked some hope. I've been waiting for Finn McGuinness. In fact, we've both called for it to fine-tune his attacking game and give us a bit more offensively. And I felt like we saw it throughout this game. And it wasn't just a final quarter thing. I think we saw it in fits and starts throughout the complete game. And look, it's Collingwood, it's Dacos. I would have had him in the frame for selection anyway. But again, like O'Sullivan, this is a bit of a statement. Finn could have coasted, could have rested on his own laurels, but he put his hand up and basically said, this is why you pick me. I've got a bit more to offer than just a tag here.
Yeah, so in a week that has a 6-day break and we've lost Watson, Butler comes into the side. Bruce probably, even if he is out of form, he's probably getting a rest anyway. Is there a couple of other younger fellas in our lineup that are looking for a rest? Can we bring Gunston straight back in? Was he good enough?
No, I don't think he's earned it. I think he showed up at times, but I found myself thinking throughout the game, he really hasn't had a look in. He did kick a good goal, a good timely goal, I think, from the paint in, I think it was the third quarter. But of all the players, Butler is the one that stands out. That was a game that really continued his strong start to the season. 17 touches, 9 score involvements, 4 inside 50s, 5 marks, and finished with a game-high 4 goals. His ability to impact the game as a link-up player, so playing up the ground, is kind of a new feature. He's bringing that this year. I like to see it. But it's not been at the expense of still being a bloody dangerous goal sneak and a real headache for the opposition.
Yeah, he is very fit, Butler. He is so fit. So we haven't mentioned Reeves. Dropped to the twos. Ramsden did not play. He was an emergency on Monday. So he has to play a game this week. Will it be twos? Will it be in the seniors? We haven't got Lewis. Who are we putting forward? Is Colchard there? Is he ready?
No. I think it's far too early. And I did tweet about this a little bit earlier on saying, nah, it won't happen. Or will it? No. But will it, though? No, honestly, I don't think it will. Although he's showing some great signs for Box Hill. He's got a good pair of Dukes deer. I think he competes well for the ground ball. You know, sometimes I catch myself watching the play, and then I'm like, oh, that's deer. That's him getting in and getting under and really contesting fiercely for a big man, which I think is quite impressive. But yes, the question remains, who do they bring in? Well, Ramsden, as you say, didn't play, so he doesn't have any form to speak of. Apart from that, the first week of the season, he was fine. I don't think he took his chances, though. Do we go back to playing a side with Reeves and Meek?
Can we just ask Reeves to sit in the forward pocket and just tap it down to our mosquito fleet? Would that be too much to ask?
Oh, I'd be happy with that, certainly. I just want to say as well that...
Clay Tucker looks good. Yeah, I know, doesn't he?
No, I was going to sing Reeves' praises because I know I've been a bit harsh on him. But I was actually pleased with both of our rucks. So we're talking Meek and Reeves. I was glad that Meek got his chance, so he got elevated. I was an advocate for that, and I thought he performed reasonably well. And I thought Reeves, frankly, he dominated at VFL, as he probably should.
Definitely should, without a recognised ruck in the opposition.
Yeah, it's still the same problems. Like, I don't see much from Reeves over the rest of the ground, but...
He kicked a goal. Come on.
Yeah,
he kicked a goal, Nick. Right.
I'm not taking a victory lap with Meek, okay? I'm not.
If he'd done that in the AFL, he probably wouldn't have been dropped if he was kicking goals.
You might be right.
I do think that's the obvious move, though. Bring Reeves in, let them swap forward.
Yeah, I'd say you're onto something there. Butler with four. Deer had three goals. O'Sullivan, three. Stephanakis was fun with two. Reeves, McGuinness, Gunston and Bennett's. I'm a big rap for Bennett's, by the way.
I am too. I've got a soft spot for him. I'm not sure where he gets deployed at AFL level, but he's very consistent.
It's the most odd thing. I do not have him anywhere near breaking into the AFL side, but he's good, and I really like watching him play. So what's the problem? I don't know. I don't know where I'd put him. He's very dependable for Box Hill. I'm not even saying that he couldn't do it at AFL. It's just an anomaly.
We do like to go into state and bring in new faces. Is Phillips a chance?
Well, he's got to be sooner or later. I am really liking what I'm seeing.
It's not bad. He is very good. I still feel he's not quite moving with the team yet, like not quite closing the space and stuff like that. But still, he's excellent at the level. His confidence is good too.
Yeah, great confidence about him. You can see why he got that recognition. Of course, Box Hill defeating Geelong in the VFL, it wasn't the only win over Geelong that day. Box Hill VFLW played Geelong.
Did they? Did they actually play?
Yeah, Geelong didn't really show up. I think we basically did as we pleased with them. 14-14-98 defeated Geelong, 0-2. 9 individual goal kickers. West, Stratton, Sheriff, Matten and Luke all had 2 goals. Bates, of course, a class above, as you'd expect. Dominated, as you'd imagine. 1-1, 31 touches to go with 7 clearances. It was her and West, Eliza West, with 26 disposals and 2-1, who really led the way. Mate, we currently have a percentage of 1,375.
Oh my goodness. That's enormous.
So, like the VFL side, we sit atop the ladder quite comfortably.
I tell you what, there were times on Monday where I was thinking, geez, we're lucky the VFL team's good. For my psyche, we are lucky that the VFL team is doing well.
I understand where you're coming from. I just need to check something. Yep, can confirm that the VFLW side have conceded a total of 16 points across two rounds, while scoring something like 222 themselves.
Wow.
It is a ridiculous domination at the moment. But we're only two rounds in, so we'll see how we go. But it's hard not to be excited by that.
No, it's great. Like, but they're not going to continue with this squad throughout the season, are they? We're going to do what we did last year, aren't we? Where we get into finals and then all of a sudden everyone else is on a preseason and we just, that's it.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the VFLW comp is only 14 rounds long. Where does that take us to? It'll wrap up by the end of June or the start of July. Are we going to have players bail out around then, do you think?
I'm just telling you what happened last year, so I hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it'd be an awful shame. It's so much hard work and presumably so much amazing football only to get to the pointy end of the season and withdraw all of these players. Mate, let's bring us back to the men's. It's gather round. Got to make some changes. Collingwood versus Hawthorn at Adelaide Oval, Sunday, 5:10 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Lewis goes out. Watson goes out. Who are you bringing in? Or do you have any other omissions?
Oh, I think you'll see Bruce rested, probably Gunston come back in, add some structure. You'll bring in, I would imagine Reeves comes straight back in.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I reckon Butler is a really great chance to come in. And then there's the question of how do you fit Finn McGuinness? Does Morrison fall back out of the side again?
Oh, yeah, we've got to get McGuinness in. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. I would have felt that Hustwaite got another week in the... Oh, goodness. Oh, well, I'm glad I'm not managing these things.
I mean, we're looking at around 3 to 4 changes here, which is a bit surprising, but here we are.
I think Morrison could start. Maybe Gunston doesn't come back in. You just use Maggie. But it's very tough to just leave Chol as the one out target up the line.
Yeah, I think it is too. I don't think we'll be wanting to do that. We've lost a big forward. We'll be looking to fill that position with another big forward or someone who can provide that.
Certainly it's an achievable result, is it, Nick? Can we beat Collingwood? Have they got their mojo back?
No, I'm not convinced of that just yet. I think it is achievable. The fact that it's played in Adelaide is the wrinkle here. And Collingwood, I don't know if you saw this, they have a superb record at Adelaide Oval. They have a record that rivals Adelaide and Port Adelaide.
Okay. And then they've got the bye the following week, of course.
Well, they're playing North.
Well, at one point yesterday, North were a better team than we are. That was the discussion. Like, how on earth have North got all these draft picks and West Coast and Hawthorn, you know, are no better, but certainly not on the receiving end of that kind of charity.
So what's your tip here? Because I think we could get it done. I really don't know what to expect from Collingwood. I don't know if I saw their resurgence against the Lions, their revival. I'm not convinced of that. I think the injuries hurt us. I think Watson is more important for our X factor and spark than people probably value or rate at this point. And I know Lewis has been out of form, but he's still very important structurally.
Yeah. He's very important structurally, but he's also taking a very good opponent each week. And we certainly have a knack of taking out the opposition's best defender. So if we could just do it earlier in the game, we might be in with a chance.
I know when to expect to see our best footy at this stage. It'll be the second quarter, right?
Yep. And then it's up to us whether we stay.
I mean, if we have an explosive first quarter, I'll consider that huge progress. I'll be like, oh, okay, well, we've brought something different here. We might be on.
Yeah, I do think we have to see Butler. Definitely want to see that. Where are our seats, by the way, Nick? Have we got good seats or are we on the hill again?
I don't think we're on the hill for any of them. So we got 4-day passes, ladies and gentlemen. We got 4-day passes. And the way that works is you don't have select seats for all four games. So we're not always in the same place. You understand?
Oh,
so
that'd be too intelligent. Yep.
exactly my thought. So we're going to be hopping around Adelaide Oval for four games. And I can't remember quite where our Pies Hawk seats are. I think we're in front of the hill for that one.
Okay, so behind the goals.
Yeah, behind the goals. It's not my favourite. Some of the other games, I think we have better seats.
Is that the day it's going to rain? I bet you it is. Bet you it is.
Well, hey, mate, if we don't have lightning, we'll be a step above what we had this week.
60% chance of rain Sunday in Adelaide. You ripper. But it's less than a millimetre, so we should be good. We should be fine.
Mate, before we discuss Gather Round a little bit more, we better get to some social media stuff. If you enjoy what we do here at the Hawk Talk podcast, we'd love it if you could spare a second or two to rate and review our show. We've had some delightful feedback lately at the start of the season, people saying that they hang out for our podcast every week. They look forward to it greatly. It's very heartwarming. We want you to help us spread the word. If you enjoy it, jump onto Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating or review. Meanwhile, we'd also love for you to join us over on our social channels. Fittingly, I'm watching our numbers tick upwards like a hawk. Excited to see us hit 5,000 followers on X. Of course, you can join us also on Facebook and Instagram. And finally, we're able to put time and effort into this podcast each and every week, thanks to the amazing support of our proud, passionate, and paid-up Patreon subscribers. It's you guys who will be getting exclusive Gather Round content from us, coverage of our trip, to go with your access all areas pass to all our other bonus stuff that we've uploaded over the years. Memo to anyone who hasn't signed up, if all this sounds appealing and you want to get on board and support the show, head to patreon.com/hawktalkpod.
So it's three zoo visits this time. A zoo on the way to Adelaide, the zoo in Adelaide, and the hill. So it should be should be fun.
Oh, mate, first game is Adelaide-Melbourne. That's going to be interesting. They're zipping three at the moment, aren't they, Adelaide? They are going to be a rowdy mob, and it's going to be interesting to see what they can do against Melbourne.
And who do Port have? Oh, Essendon. Oh, terrific. So Port have Essendon the following evening. That's terrific. I can see that being a very good game. And then we're off to... Are we off to West Coast Sydney? Because that could be... Oh, no, that's not a... That's at Mount Barker. Whew, that was lucky.
It's a four-day pass, so we get all of the games at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, Frio Carlton. Okay, I'll take a book. And Dogs, Cats, yeah. All right, fair enough.
Mate, we've got the main event. We're the final act of Gather Round.
Go to the website, mate. We are not the main event. Port Adelaide and... The Collingwood Football Club both have tickets available.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. They are the only games with tickets left available.
I look forward to it though, mate, because last year was such a vibe. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed myself. And, you know, that was the inaugural Gather Round. I look forward to seeing the AFL, what they've done with this information of, oh, this could really work. People really liked that. So let's kick it up another notch. Like, let's really send it stratospheric. I can't wait to see what they have planned, and I hope it's more than, say, a DJ somewhere.
Well, don't get your hopes too high there, Nick.
Mate, compared to the other codes in the world, like ice hockey, basketball, and I know they're different arenas, they're different venues, but their match day experience and the production that goes into it, it's a whole thing. It's amazing. And then you come back to AFL, and it's like, yeah, that's a bit lame.
Oh, come on. You know, dance music for the whole time that the lightning delay went. That was...
Here's an idea, mate. Why don't we have someone run around the oval trying to beat whatever's on the LED screen? That could be entertaining for about 5 seconds.
You know what was entertaining? The streaker.
The guy who slammed the ball into the post and then slipped over. There you go, mate. Did you get your 11 grand's worth out of that?
Not even the goalpost, the behind post. But the other bloke nearly made it end to end. So do they really pay that amount anyway? I wouldn't have thought they did. They just flashed that up there.
Oh, well, patreon.com/hawktalkpod if you want Tiz to streak during Gather Round.
I've got to get the knee op first.
That'll be all that we have for this week on the Hawk Talk podcast. Stay tuned to our socials. And as I said, get on board our Patreon, patreon.com/hawktalkpod, not for the streaking fun, but for all the exclusive content that we're going to be posting from our road trip. It's going to be a magnificent time. Get around us. We will catch you next week on the Hawk Talk podcast. We are a happy team at Hawthorn.